Hello, folks. It's good to have each and every one of you join with us today for this online broadcast on behalf of Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church, coming to you from my home, to yours, I trust, even today. We're turning in your copy of God's Word this morning to the Old Testament for our scripture reading, to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. And we're commencing to read there in the chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're starting to read there at the verse 2, speaking of Elkanah. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and the verse 2. Speaking of Elkanah, it says there, he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of a city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up early. They had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore, and she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. They rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. We'll end our reading there this morning, but I encourage you even later on in the day to read on into chapter 2 of this passage of scripture, on down through to the verse 11, or even on down, read the whole chapter of chapter 2, and you'll be encouraged even in your own soul as we consider some wonderful truths from these two chapters even this morning of God's precious word. Let's just bow together for a word of prayer and seek the Lord even in these days in which we live. Father in heaven, we come before thee this morning in the attitude of prayer. We rejoice in the great privilege that is ours is to come before thee as King and head over all today. We thank thee, our dear Saviour, afresh for the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for him who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee, Lord, for the great joy that is ours to come into thy presence today, to come and sit around our Saviour's feet, to learn of thee, to read thy precious word, to meditate upon it for a time. Oh, Father, we pray to this end that, Lord, you would bless our land in these days. You'll bless us, Lord, even as we live each day our lives out for thee, even these difficult days in which we live. Father, help us, Lord, to be signposts to the Saviour. Help us, Lord, to be bright and shining lights for thee. Give us, Lord, faith in these days to look to thee. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes stead upon Jehovah. Refresh our hearts, we pray of thee. May we be a people that know our God and do exploits for thee. Oh, Father, we pray, Lord, even now as we come to thy word, that thou will come and thou will minister to our hearts. Pour out thy spirit upon hearer and preacher alike today. Lord, we long for thee to move in our hearts. Move in this day in which we live. We think of people, Lord, perhaps listening into this broadcast today that are not saved. We pray, Lord, you'll even awaken their hearts today. You'll open their blinded eyes. You'll draw them onto thyself with the cords of love. Save their souls, we pray of thee. Perhaps there's those today cold at heart, found far from thee. Restore unto them, we pray, the joy of thy so great salvation. O Lord, we pray, come and do our hearts good, even as we meet in this fashion, each one in our own homes today, under the advice of a government, Lord, in which thou hast instructed us even to pray for those that are in authority over us. And to this end, we pray for them today. We pray, Lord, you'll even give them wisdom, direction, and help. O Lord, come now. Do our hearts good, we pray. Speak to us, we pray. May your Holy Spirit brood over this gathering, each one, even as we meet together in part around thy word. As a group of thy people, apply thy word to our hearts. Minister unto our needy souls, we pray. For in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. Amen. The Bible has much to say about godliness, with both regard to men and to women. Most references to godliness do not differentiate between the qualities of a godly man or the godly woman. Both men and women who belong to Christ by faith have displayed a godly sorrow that worketh repentance unto salvation. Without the gift of salvation by grace through faith alone, no man or woman can be truly godly. The word godly in Scripture means pious or holy. But piety and holiness are only achieved when one is made a new creature in Christ. Born again Christians are indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit, who produces that godliness in us as he sanctifies us day by day as we seek to live for our Saviour, moulded even into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. By his grace we are able to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world in which we live. God manifests himself in our lives when we are in control of our hungers and desires. We live in a worldly culture. We must seek to resist ungodly influences all around us. Day by day, there's always that battle going on. One way a godly woman distinguishes herself from the world is by her self-control. She practices restraint and does not give free rein to unrestrained emotions, attitudes, words and desires. The godly woman also controls her thoughts and emotions, taking them captive and making them obedient to Christ. She also controls her tongue, of which James tells us that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. The speech of a godly woman is one that edifies and encourages, rather than tearing down and with just some old idle gossip. And this goes for every part Every man and woman, not just even the godly woman, but it should be so of the godly man. The godly woman also does not allow wickedness and unwholesome talk come from her mouth. You know, the first three chapters of 1 Samuel are in principle centered around three individuals. That is Hannah, Eli, and Samuel. And today I would like to give some consideration rather for a time to the first of the three, and that is Hannah. That good woman and a godly mother. I want to turn your attention first of all to the opening verses, verses 1 through to 10, as we consider Hannah's sorrow. In verse 10 we see there, she wept sore. You know, if we were to look back to Genesis 2 and the verse 24, we read there, therefore shall a man leave his father, his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. From the beginning of creation, we see what a family, according to scriptural principles, ought to be. From the beginning of creation, there is that one man, one woman that is joined together in marriage, with children brought up there within the marital home. However, because of the hardness of men's heart, God made a law with regard to the inheritance rights for the firstborn, to prevent that confusion, to preserve order within families. In Deuteronomy 27, we read back there, if a man have two wives. Here God is really saying, supposing that this is the case. God did not approve of men having a number of wives, rather. It was because of the hardness of men's hearts that it had become so in the Old Testament. There are many variations to what is deemed family nowadays, due to circumstances which develop for numerous and various different reasons. Well, this family situation was in part run as a godly home, as we have read of together already in verse 3 of how Elkanah took the family up there to Shiloh to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord yearly. Things were by no means ideal nonetheless. We note verse 5 how Hannah had received the double portion, how she was loved by Elkanah despite the fact the Lord had shut her womb. And in verse 8 Elkanah sought to comfort her, saying those words, am I not better to thee than 10 sons? I think from this verse that we can see Hannah was a good woman. I expect she would have helped out there in the home. Indeed with the other children, even though she was not their maternal mother. And we really see her here pictured of what is often referred to over in Proverbs as that example of a godly woman in Proverbs 31, a virtuous woman, an honourable woman, an upright woman. Surely this is what we see here before us of Hannah. From the kindness of Elkanah shown toward her, we can take it from that he knew that. He knew she was a good woman. He loved her. Yet she just plodded on in her circumstances. Though they were hard, though they were difficult. Her circumstances being cumbersome, awkward to say the least, and weighing heavily upon her heart. We see in verse 6 how Peninnah provoked her sore, to the point of extreme grief, over the fact she had no children of her own. Oh, Hannah's sorrow was great, and it was grievous. Despite the fact she was a good woman, she carried this ache within her heart, this desire to have a child of her own, to be a mother, this desire within the depths of her soul to one day have a child of her own. But not only do we see Hannah's sorrow, consider with me in verses 11 through to 19 Hannah's supplication. You see, in the opening verse of 1 Samuel we're taught so much about the importance of the effectual and fervent prayer. And in verse 11 and following, Hannah is seen there in complete submission to the will of God, confessing that she is just merely his handmaid. She is merely just a female slave. Despite her pain, she is found praying for God's glory. In the words of Hannah in the latter part of the verse 11, This is clearly seen. Give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. You see, vows were characteristic of this particular age of the judges, and this vow was one such vow, known as the law of the Nazarites, seen over in Numbers chapter 6 and the verse 5. And we read there, all the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head. Numbers 6 and the verse 5. Hannah's prayer was one that involved sacrifice. You know, tell me this morning, how often are we found praying such prayers? Oftentimes we come to prayer, yes, with that shopping list perhaps the length of one's arm. Oftentimes we even omit to give thanks to the Lord for all that he has done for us. Things never even, it never even comes to our mind rather to perhaps give up something in return for answered prayer. Yet we see here in this chapter which we have just read together of Hannah as she made this vow unto the Lord. And in answer to her prayer, that she would give him back her son. She said she would separate him unto his service. She has seen here in total dependence upon the Lord for everything. She has found in prayer yearning for a son. We see her here in prayer, not in some form of routine and ritualistic prayer. No, fervent, earnest prayer. Expressive, emotive prayer. In the verse 10 there, she wept sore. She prayed from the very innermost part of her being. She poured out her heart unto the Lord. Yes, in silence. But nonetheless, she prayed from her heart to his heart, to the very heart of God. And over in Luke 18 verses 1 to 8, we have recorded there for us the parable of the widow, of the as she stood there before the unjust judge. There we see another woman who was like Hannah. She persisted and persevered in prayer until she got through to God. Hannah's prayer was answered in the Lord's provision of a son. Yes, that son Samuel, which means asked of God. But not only was Samuel that answer to prayer, Samuel was to grow up to be a man who was a man of prayer. A man that was found faithful in the place of prayer. And men and women this morning, and young people perhaps listening into this broadcast, can it be said of you? Can it be said of me today? Are we found faithful in the place of prayer? Just like Hannah. Hannah who prayed. When we think of the great needs of our land today, and indeed right across the world, are we found praying today for this situation? Oh yes, in this past days it has been heard said by many, and perhaps even you have heard these words said, you know, at least if we have each other and we stick together, this will see us through this current crisis. And you know, while all of these things is good, and it's good to love thy neighbour as thyself, and it's good to help and encourage in every way we can, and I'm by no means decrying and taking away from such behaviour. It's right and proper. But you know what we need more than anything else, friend, today? We need the Lord to come. We need to cry unto him. We need to seek his face. We need him to come in and to step in to the situation in our land today and to intervene. To step into the hearts of men and women and young people who perhaps once walked well with Christ but today are found far from him. Is that you today perhaps I'm speaking to? You once were a good church attender, but today you listen in because you've nothing else to do. Surely the Lord's been merciful unto you. Take heed to a speaking voice this day. We ought to be found praying like Hannah. We've considered Hannah's sorrow, her supplication, but also consider with me her surrender. And this is seen through verses 20 through to 28. Surely each one of us today cannot but admire Hannah for all she did, and even Elkanah also, as he supported her in her decision and watched as she they went through with this together, having longed for a child for years, then having been blessed with a son, the firstborn. We can't help but think of the love of God for sinners as we see the Father giving his only son to be that ransom for many. On the cross at Calvary, when we think of this giving up, we're reminded of that verse of scripture. Perhaps you've learned it in Sunday school. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Samuel was given of his parents as a Levite, as a Nazarite, a prophet, then a judge. He would go on to serve the Lord and Israel and help usher in a new era in Jewish history. In verse 24, we see Hannah there taking Samuel back to the tabernacle and dedicating him to the service of the Lord. And this demonstrates the importance of keeping our vows to the Lord. Humanly speaking, this had to have been an emotional and a traumatic experience for Hannah. But note this, friend. She kept her promise. She kept her promise. When Hannah and Elkanah presented their son Samuel to Eli, they reminded him of that time when he had accused Hannah of being drunk. And scripture doesn't record his response. It just denotes that Samuel was received and he became that servant of the Lord, used of God in the tabernacle and trained in the law of the Lord. Hannah was surely surrendered to the Lord, to his will. You know, when we consider this vow which she made, I want you to note that it wasn't rash. It wasn't a rash vow. And vows are not bargaining tools or bargaining chips to be used in prayer to get God to answer us according to our own will or our personal desires. God takes vows seriously and expects us to be men and women and young people of our word. I remember back to a time in my own life, feeling called of the Lord even into full-time service. I recollect with great clarity that day as if it was yesterday, when I vowed to the Lord, Lord, you take care of all the circumstances, and I will serve you. I will go and serve you wherever it is that thou would have me to go, whatever it is thou'd have me to do. And I must confess this morning to you that there continues to be times along the journey and in my own human frailty when I even feel like going back on my word. However, we read in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools, pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is thou that thou shouldest not vow, than not thou shouldest vow and not pay. Have you made a vow to the Lord and not paid it? You know, it's better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. Hannah made a vow to the Lord and she remained faithful to her word. What about you this morning, dear friend? Perhaps your circumstances are far from ideal. You think of back to Hannah's circumstances early on in the chapter. Her circumstances were far from ideal. Her heart was breaking. She was grieving. She was sorrowful. Yet She sets before us such a wonderful example to follow. A perfect plan to follow if we're to know God's blessing upon our life today. When God answered her prayer, she was quick to acknowledge his goodness and to be found rejoicing in him. If we are to expect the Lord to answer our prayers today, let us to be sure to be found giving thanks to him for those petitions which he has already granted. As the psalmist says in Psalm 92 in the verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. We should always be found rejoicing in the work of Christ. Are you found living today a life which is surrendered unto the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? Or do you want to have nothing to do with him? We have seen Hannah's sorrow, her supplication, her surrender. But consider with me also her son. In the opening verses of chapter 2, we read there how Hannah left her son with Eli. She could have been forgiven for heading away off and having a cry, perhaps. Yet, what do we see her doing? In the verse 27 and the 28, we read there of Elkanah worshipping. Was he worshipping alone? No, he wasn't. Hannah was there too. Hannah was worshipping and praying and praising God. You see, the world doesn't understand the connection between sacrifice and song. Yet before Jesus went to the garden where he would be arrested, what did he do? He sang a hymn with his disciples. Matthew 26 and 30, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We think of Paul and Silas, beaten, humiliated and imprisoned. And yet, what way were they found? Were they found with the chin down and the head down, feeling sorry for themselves? No, they were found rejoicing. What about you, my friend, today? In the circumstances in which we're living, oh, so much uncertainty all around us, have you your faith and trust and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you resting firmly on him? Do you know that he has a perfect plan and a purpose? As for God, his ways are perfect. Sometimes we'll not even understand it in this lifetime, but can you rest on him? Are you found rejoicing today amidst all that's going on around us because you're a child of his? Throughout the Psalms, David is found praising the Lord in the midst of trying and difficult circumstances. The apostles, Acts 5 and 41, they're found rejoicing that they're counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. When a child of God really grasps the work of grace that has been wrought in their heart and life, they realise that Christ has given victory over the enemy. They're found rejoicing. They delight in the wonderful way that God can turn things upside down to accomplish his purpose. Is that not what God's doing in these present days? Is he not giving opportunity to those that perhaps have never heard the gospel to hear it? Is he not giving opportunity for those that have turned away from God, that has been on social media? Now there's so many people on social media and YouTube, all these different things, these different outlets, proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Is he not giving you an opportunity? Is he not working all things out according to his will? According to his glory and for your good? Oh yes, he is. We're reminded of the love and the provision of Christ by the concluding words of the Apostle Paul as he prays for the spiritual strength of the church over in Ephesus. In Ephesians 3, 19 and 20, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This was Hannah's experience. Read over in 1 Samuel 2 and 21. Take note of the reference. Read it for yourself. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. This is the same woman, yes, the same woman which we read of in the opening chapter, who wept sore, who was sorrowful within her heart, great bitterness, weeping, bitterness of soul, praying her heart out to the Lord. Praying, Lord, just give me a son. Look at the answer for it. He didn't just give her a son. He gave her a family. Hannah was surely a good woman and a godly mother. We've considered how she put God first. She prayed believing, she preserved her vows, and ultimately she gave God the glory. Perhaps you're sorrowful today and maybe circumstances are difficult for you. What did Hannah do? She prayed. She prayed. She didn't even pray audibly. She prayed from the heart. And friend, if you're going to pray at all, pray from the heart. Pray from the heart. She supplicated, she pleaded and petitioned God with regard to the deep hurt within her life. The great burdens. That one burden. More than any of the others. Oh yes, Penina, its taunts and all that went with it. But the greatest burden of all, that she wanted to have the son. A child of her own. What did she do then? She surrendered her son. The very son she prayed for, she gave him back to the Lord. As the Lord asked you today to give something up for him. He promised to bless those who put him first. Are you missing out today, perhaps because you won't surrender to him? I conclude with the words of exhortation and warning found in 1 Samuel 2 and the verse 30. Them that honour me, I will honour. Yet the warning that follows, they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed, cursed. What will it be today, friend? Are you going to live a life that honours God? Or are you going to just despise him? Turn your back from him. Turn your back toward him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we just praise thee and thank thee, Lord, for the life and ministry of Hannah. We thank thee, Lord, for the good woman and the godly mother in which she was. We thank thee, Lord, for even amidst her sorrow that she was found supplicating, praying unto thee, surrendering all to thee. Surely, Father, today thou art speaking. Perhaps there's some even listening in today that's not saved. And Lord, we pray you'll even work in their hearts. Draw them lovingly unto thyself, we pray of thee. Break into their heart and life, we pray. May they surrender all unto thee. Give themselves over to thee. Rejoice, Lord, that thou canst transform a life that can make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. We pray you'll do it for some soul even today. Pray for our land in this day. Lord, we pray you'll continue to help those that seek to work and frontline workers, those that seek to preserve life, we pray your hand of blessing will be upon them. Doctors and nurses and carers, we pray. Help us, Lord, this one. Help us, Lord, in these days, Father, to keep our eyes fixed upon thee. Help us to be found praying. Help us to be found on our knees, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.